Imagine waiting overnight, like in the freezing cold, to buy a brand new $2,000 graphics card.
Which is already a huge commitment.
Right. And then you finally get it and you walk straight into the parking lot and you just sell it to some AI startup for double the price.
Yeah, literally right out of the trunk of your car.
Exactly. Or, imagine walking into a big box store, picking up a $250 pair of Samsung earbuds off the shelf, and legally walking out with an FDA-cleared medical device.
It's a completely different world now.
It really is. Usually when we think about the boundaries in our lives, they feel pretty fixed,
Yeah,
right?
really.
Like a velvet rope at a club, a border on a map, the line between a toy and a medical tool. You're either on one side of that line or you're on the other.
Well, we do crave those categories. I mean, mostly because they offer predictability.
Yeah, for sure.
It is just much easier to navigate the world when a video game is just a video game, and a bank is just a bank. But technology, by its very nature, absolutely hates predictability.
It really does. And when you look at the bleeding edge right now, those velvet ropes aren't just being moved, they are being aggressively trampled.
Oh, completely bulldozed.
Welcome to this custom deep dive put together specifically for you. We are setting our sights on a massive stack of breaking news from TickingGameDad.com for today, Thursday, August 13th, 2026.
And it is a huge stack today.
It is. We are looking at stories spanning hardware, global finance, and gaming. Our mission today is uncovering the hidden through line connecting all of them, how emerging tech is basically just bulldozing traditional boundaries. Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Starting with a massive wall that just came down in the console space. Electronic Arts has officially launched Madden NFL 27 on the Nintendo Switch 2 today.
Which, I mean, that is a seismic shift for the industry.
It really is.
This breaks a hardware barrier that has stood for decades, literally. For the first time in the franchise's history, Madden is running natively on a Nintendo console.
And that's wild because they've always skipped Nintendo, right?
Right, always. EA has essentially conceded that they can no longer treat PlayStation and Xbox as the only viable ecosystems for their flagship sports titles.
Yeah.
They are aiming squarely at this previously untouched market of 140 million Switch and Switch 2 owners.
Right, because historically, Nintendo consoles just couldn't handle the heavy computational lifting required by a game like Madden.
No, not at all.
Like, if you tried to run a modern physics engine on the original Switch, the console would probably just melt in your
It
hand.
would catch fire, yeah.
So how are they actually doing this now
Yeah.
without heavily downgrading the game? Because it looks incredible.
It comes down to a fundamental shift in how the hardware renders reality. The Switch 2 is running on an NVIDIA Tegra T239 processor.
Okay.
But the real magic, the thing making this possible, is its support for DLSS.
Deep learning supersampling.
Right,
Right.
exactly.
Let's break that down for a second because, DLSS gets thrown around a lot in tech circles.
Yeah.
How does that actually solve the hardware gap for Nintendo?
Okay, so think of it like a very smart artist filling in the blanks.
Okay, I like that.
Instead of forcing the underpowered console processor to draw every single pixel of a highly detailed 4K image,
Which takes massive horsepower.
right, massive computational horsepower. So instead of doing that, the console draws a much smaller, lower resolution image. Then an onboard AI instantly analyzes that image, predicts what the missing pixels should look like, and fills them in.
Wow, so it's guessing the rest of the picture.
Basically, it's essentially faking high-end graphics on low-end hardware in real time.
That's crazy.
And that is the only reason this cross-platform leap is physically possible.
That makes total sense. And looking at the sources, they are definitely not skimping on the on-field tech either. The new physics engine is a huge focus for EA this year
Oh, absolutely.
because in older sports games, collisions always felt a bit floaty, Players would hit each other and sort of bounce off like inflatable dolls. I think they called it the pinball effect.
Right, the pinball effect, because early engines treated every player model largely the same in terms of mass.
Yeah, they didn't feel real.
They were relying mostly on pre-canned animation sequences rather than actual dynamic real-world
Well,
physics,
they finally implemented genuine weight distribution.
which is huge.
It is. When a 270-pound linebacker hits a 200-pound running back on the 1 yard line, the game physics actually calculate that mass difference in real time now.
You can actually feel the impact.
Yes. But here's the thing that really caught my eye. This new AI system they're calling the Persona Engine.
Oh, this is
It
fascinating.
really is like a digital mood ring. It uses NFL next-gen stats, like actual data pulled from real sensors on players during real Sunday games to simulate over 500 personality attributes per digital player.
So we're talking risk tolerance, how they react to a heavy pass rush, their historical clutch behavior.
Exactly. It sounds like injecting a player's real-life psychological baggage straight into the game's code. But I have to ask, wait, if I'm playing as Patrick Mahomes, and the real Mahomes had a terrible high-anxiety game last Sunday, is my digital Mahomes going to randomly choke on third down? Because that sounds incredibly frustrating for a gamer.
I mean, I get that, but it completely reframes what a sports game is.
How so?
You have to stop thinking of it as a game of purely thumbs and twitch reflexes and start viewing it as psychological management.
Okay.
If the digital quarterback's real-world data indicates he makes poor decisions under a blitz and you let the defense blitz him in the game, you will absolutely see him throw less accurate passes.
Wow.
You are no longer just controlling an avatar. You are managing a simulated human being.
So the line between a video game and a real-world simulation is basically gone.
Completely erased.
But looking through the reviews in our sources, there's a catch.
There's always a catch.
The on-field tech is revolutionary, but franchise mode? The part where you actually manage the team, negotiate salaries, and handle the draft is completely stagnant.
Yeah, fans are not happy about that.
Not at all. It is identical to what we've had for 5 years. EA says updates are coming, but for single-player fans, the heart of the game hasn't evolved a single inch.
Which really shows that while they can use AI to break graphical and physical boundaries, automating the depth of a complex management simulation is still a hurdle they haven't cleared.
That's a great point. Now, while Nintendo and EA are tearing down walls to make gaming more accessible, the high-end PC gaming market is accidentally building a massive, unscalable fortress.
It is a nightmare right now.
We are officially in the middle of a historic pricing crisis with the NVIDIA RTX 5090 graphics card.
The 5090, yeah.
The manufacturer's suggested retail price, the MSRP, is $1,999. But right now, at major online retailers, it is selling for over $4,300.
It is a staggering 150% markup.
It's just nuts.
Relative to its MSRP, it is the most expensive consumer graphics card in history. We haven't seen supply lines choke this badly since the great crypto mining boom of 2021.
And the panic buying is palpable. The sources highlight the QuakeCon 2026 event from just a few days ago.
Oh, right, the NVIDIA booth.
Yes. NVIDIA actually had an official booth selling the 5090 at that $1,999 MSRP. People camped out overnight in the freezing cold, bought their stripped limit of one card, and then walked straight out into the parking lot to flip them for $3,500 to $4,000 cash.
Right there on the spot.
Right there. But if crypto miners aren't the ones hoarding GPUs this time around, who is hijacking the hardware?
Well, it is a perfect storm of artificial intelligence desperation colliding with a major supply chain bottleneck.
AI desperation.
Yes. AI startups, the companies actively building the next generation of large language models, are aggressively buying up RTX 5090s.
Wait, why would a serious AI startup use consumer gaming cards? Don't they use massive enterprise servers?
I mean, they want to. But true enterprise server GPUs, like NVIDIA's H100, cost between $30,000 and $40,000 each.
Oh, wow.
And there's a massive wait list just to get them. If you are a startup burning through venture capital, it is vastly more cost-effective to buy a dozen 5090s, even at inflated $4,000 scalper prices.
So they just network them together.
Exactly. They network them into a mini cluster. You can train smaller AI models for a fraction of the enterprise cost. They are literally treating a flagship consumer gaming product as budget enterprise gear.
And the supply chain just can't keep up with that.
Not even close.
Because the 5090 relies on GDDR7 VRAM, right?
Right.
Which is a brand new generation of memory technology.
Exactly. The primary suppliers like Samsung and Micron are struggling with manufacturing yields.
Which means they can't make enough of them fast enough.
Right. When you move to a new higher bandwidth memory node, it is incredibly difficult to produce at scale initially. Plus, those same manufacturers are splitting their factory time to produce memory for the enterprise AI chips.
So the double whammy.
Exactly. You have low yields, massive AI startup demand, and scalpers deploying automated bots to clear out whatever inventory actually reaches a digital storefront.
It leads to retailers doing completely unhinged things.
Bundles?
Yes. To stop the bots, some stores are forcing consumers to buy bizarre hardware bundles. You can only secure a 5090 if you agree to also purchase 8 motherboards, 16 RAM sticks and 4 PC cases all at once.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
That's highway robbery.
Nice.
But let me push back a little here because we aren't totally devoid of options, right?
Sure, there are alternatives.
AMD is launching the Radeon RX 8900 XTX next month for $12,299, and Intel has their Arc B770 dropping in October for just $599. Mm. Are they actually saving us from this pricing madness?
Well, this raises an important question. Who are those AMD and Intel cards actually built for?
Okay, who are they for?
They are offering fantastic relief for the mid-tier and high-tier gamers. If you are gaming at 1440p resolution, you are going to be perfectly fine.
Right.
But no one has a true architectural alternative to the RTX 5090's raw computational power.
No one.
No one. If you are an AI creator, a professional 8K video editor, or a hardcore gamer demanding 4K resolution at 240 hertz with full ray tracing, you are trapped.
Whoa.
There is no escape hatch. You either pay the inflated price or you find a new hobby.
That fortress mentality where a single Western hardware giant essentially holds the entire globe hostage based on supply is exactly what's triggering a massive retaliation over in Asia right now.
Oh, absolutely.
We are seeing a huge, aggressive move toward regional tech and financial sovereignty.
Yes. Major Asian economies are just tired of relying on infrastructure they don't control.
I don't blame them.
And we are seeing this manifest right now in the financial sector with the launch of HKDBP.
Let's talk about HKDBP. This is Hong Kong's first fully regulated stablecoin, officially launched just yesterday. It's pegged 1-to-1 to the Hong Kong dollar.
And it has huge backing.
Huge backing. The consortium behind it, called Anchor Point, is backed by some serious heavy hitters. Standard Chartered Bank, Hong Kong's largest telecom, HKT, and Animoca Brands. Why is this specific token such a threat to the current system?
You have to look at the global stablecoin market, which is currently over 85% dominated by U.S. dollar-backed tokens, primarily Tether and USDC.
Right. It's all tied to the U.S. dollar.
Exactly. Economic hubs like Hong Kong, Singapore, and Japan do not want their emerging digital financial infrastructure to be completely dependent on a foreign currency.
Because then they are tied to U.S. inflation.
Yes, a currency that is highly subject to U.S. monetary policy and inflation. By launching HKDBP, which is fully audited and overseen by the Hong Kong Monetary Authority, they are asserting independence.
And it fundamentally changes how international money moves. The sources note they are bypassing traditional banking rails like SWIFT.
Right. If you use the correspondent banking system to settle international trade today, your money has to bounce through multiple intermediary banks across different time zones.
It takes days.
It takes 3 to 5 business days. But by settling tokenized funds directly on a blockchain using HKDBP, that same cross-border trade finance settles in minutes.
That's incredible efficiency.
And it's permanently recorded, all while keeping the regulatory oversight entirely local to Hong Kong.
Okay, here is where it gets really interesting for you, though, especially if you follow the gaming industry. I mentioned Animoca Brands as part of this consortium.
Yep.
They aren't a bank. They are a massive global leader in Web3, NFTs, and blockchain gaming.
The gaming crossover here is huge.
Right. If they integrate this new stablecoin into their ecosystem, the financial borders between gaming and the real economy just vanish. You could be playing a game, selling an in-game asset or NFT, and instantly cashing out your earnings using a regulated, legal, tender-backed regional currency.
Rather than some volatile, unregulated crypto token that might crash tomorrow.
Exactly.
It legitimizes the entire Web3 gaming economy. And that overarching desire for independence for Asian entities to demand a seat at the global table on their own terms is echoing straight into the entertainment industry as well.
How so?
Just as Asian finance is breaking its reliance on the U.S. dollar, Asian game studios are aggressively proving they do not need Western or Japanese legacy publishers to define AAA gaming.
Which brings us to Phantom Blade Zero and its upcoming August 17th State of Play presentation.
Exactly.
Sony is giving this game a 20-minute exclusive spotlight, which is rare air for any studio.
Very rare.
It's being developed by a Chinese studio called S-Game. They just dropped an 11-minute gameplay trailer that reveals Donnie Yen is deeply involved.
Donnie Yen. I mean, that is a huge get.
We're talking the martial arts absolute legend from Ip Man, Rogue One, and John Wick 4. He's playing a critical character named Mo Yuan.
But he didn't just step into a booth to record some lines?
No. He did the facial capture, full motion capture, and he's serving as the core creative consultant for the combat choreography.
Which sends a massive signal of intent to the global market. Yan is an expert in mixed martial arts, Wing Chun, Muay Thai.
The style is so distinct.
It is. His cinematic choreography sets a radically different standard for how digital combat feels. But what's truly fascinating here is the game's origin story.
I couldn't believe this part of the source material.
It's crazy. Phantom Blade Zero is actually a spiritual reboot of a 2014 2D side-scrolling mobile game that was only ever released in China and Southeast Asia.
Wait, really? S Game took a 2D mobile game and morphed it into a globally hyped Unreal Engine 5 console exclusive for the PlayStation 5.
That's exactly what they did.
That is like a garage band skipping the indie clubs, skipping the regional tours, and going straight to headlining a global stadium tour.
It is unprecedented. S Game decided to completely rebuild their intellectual property from the ground up for a global audience.
And it's working.
By securing heavy back-end support from Sony and bringing in a globally recognized star like Donnie Yen to anchor the combat, they are proving that regional Asian studios can command massive budgets and leverage cutting-edge tech to compete directly with the Western heavyweights.
But that leap from mobile indie to global blockbuster isn't just about rendering better graphics or tighter combat mechanics anymore. To actually hook a global audience today, you have to hijack the player's psychology with deep narrative.
Which perfectly explains the absolute juggernaut that is Marvel Rivals.
Yes. The mid-season 9.5 update drops today, and it includes Wave 2 of their summer skins.
The skins are pretty funny.
They are. You can now play as Iron Man in a Malibu sunset armor, or Groot, literally shaped like a palm tree with coconuts hanging off him.
On the surface, it sounds a bit absurd.
It does.
But Marvel Rivals is undeniably one of the most successful games of 2026. It launched in January, stepping into a heavily saturated market to compete directly with Overwatch 2 and Valorant.
Which is tough.
Very tough. Yet within 6 months, it pulled in over 75 million monthly active players.
75 million active users is a staggering footprint. It's a free-to-play hero shooter, sure, but the fast-paced gameplay and the esports tournaments aren't the real secret sauce here.
No, the gameplay is just the hook.
The thing keeping players genuinely invested are these drops called Karkoan Reels.
Yes, the reels.
The update today brings three new ones. These are 3 to 5 minute, incredibly high-budget cinematic side stories. We aren't talking about janky in-game engine cutscenes. This is professional animation studio quality.
It looks like a movie.
It does. We're getting stories like Loki taking a beach vacation and getting tangled in a local conspiracy, or Scarlet Witch trying to escape her powers on a quiet shoreline, only for her dreams to start warping reality.
If we look at the psychology of the player base, NetEase Games understands a fundamental truth about modern monetization.
What's that?
They aren't just selling an $18 for Beach God skin. They are building deep emotional attachment.
How so? Like, why does a 3-minute cinematic make someone open their wallet?
Because it contextualizes the cosmetic. It makes players feel like they are actively participating inside an expanding Marvel Cinematic Universe rather than just logging into a sterile competitive arena to shoot at each other.
Oh, I see.
By providing high-quality narrative lore for why Iron Man is wearing Malibu armor, they leverage storytelling to make the digital purchase feel meaningful and rooted in a wider reality. They are enriching the user's digital life.
Speaking of enriching reality,
mm-hmm.
Let's pivot from how tech manipulates our psychology in digital spaces to how it is literally hijacking human biology to change your physical quality of life.
This is such an important story.
Samsung has just gained FDA hearing aid clearance for their upcoming Galaxy Buds Pro 4 and Galaxy Buds Elite, which are scheduled to launch by the end of this year.
This might be the most impactful, boundary-breaking story in the entire stack today.
It's massive.
We are talking about everyday consumer earbuds legally functioning as medical devices. The stakes here are immense. According to the World Health Organization, over 1.5 billion people globally experience some degree of hearing loss.
That's a huge portion of the population.
In the U.S. alone, 48 million people have hearing problems, but only about 20% actually use hearing aids.
Let me guess the barrier, a cost.
It's entirely the cost. A pair of professional specialized medical hearing aids runs between $2,000 and $8,000.
And usually standard health insurance does not cover a single dime of it, right?
Exactly. So millions of people, especially seniors on fixed incomes, just live in isolation with a diminished quality of life. But in October 2022, the FDA passed a landmark rule allowing over-the-counter hearing aid sales without requiring a doctor's prescription or an audiologist exam.
That cracked the door wide open for consumer tech giants.
It did. Apple did it first with the AirPods Pro 2 in late 2025, and now Samsung is aggressively entering this $10 billion medical industry.
And the actual mechanism of how it works is brilliant. You don't go to a clinic. You sit in your living room and do a five-minute hearing test right inside the Galaxy wearable app.
It's so user-friendly.
It plays sounds at various frequencies, categorizes your hearing loss from normal to mild, moderate, severe, or profound, and then the earbuds automatically adjust their sound profile.
Automatically.
If your ears struggle to pick up specific high frequencies, it amplifies just those ranges. Plus, it utilizes AI background noise filtering to isolate human voices, say, if you're sitting in a loud, crowded restaurant.
It's life-changing tech.
But I have to challenge the reality of this. Can a $250 pair of consumer earbuds with a battery life of maybe 6 to 8 hours truly replace an $8,000 medical device that runs for 48 hours straight?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, no, it cannot replace specialized devices for everyone, and it isn't trying to.
Okay, so it has limits.
The FDA guidelines and the sources are clear that these earbuds are not suitable for severe or profound hearing loss. If your biology is in those categories, you still need the $8,000 dedicated device.
Makes sense.
But for the tens of millions of people suffering from mild to moderate hearing loss, this fundamentally changes everything. Not only does it obliterate the massive financial barrier, but it completely removes the social stigma.
Oh, that's a huge point. Because if you're wearing Galaxy Buds, you just look like you're listening to a podcast or taking a phone call.
Exactly.
You don't look like you're wearing a medical device. It's socially invisible.
They are democratizing a profound medical necessity by disguising it as an everyday consumer accessory.
So what does this all mean? We started today talking about velvet ropes and fixed boundaries. But look at what we've unpacked.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We've seen Nintendo finally hosting EA's flagship sports physics. We're seeing Asian studios commanding the global AAA gaming table and Asian financial institutions sidestepping the U.S. dollar with regulated blockchain stablecoins.
Boundaries are just dissolving everywhere.
We've got AI startups cannibalizing the graphics cards meant for gamers and everyday earbuds acting as FDA-cleared medical devices. The walls aren't just coming down. They've already been bulldozed.
It leaves you with a rather profound question to consider, really.
What's that?
If our everyday consumer like a $250 pair of earbuds can seamlessly absorb a specialized $10 billion medical market, and if AI startups can just commandeer our gaming hardware to run enterprise computing, at what point does the category of consumer technology cease to exist entirely?
Oh, that is interesting.
Are we fast approaching a future where all the tech we buy is actually highly specialized enterprise and medical grade equipment just wrapped up in a consumer-friendly, heavily branded box?
Like a Trojan horse sitting on your desk or right there in your ear.
Exactly.
It really makes you look twice at everything you're plugged into.
Mm.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the world around you. Keep looking for those hidden connections. And remember, the next time you see a boundary, a wall, or a velvet rope, chances are the tech in your pocket has already found a way right through it. Catch you next time.